Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster is a man who wants to be governor. His political ambitions may have hit a wall following New York Times reports that he used his office in a pay-to-play relationship with lobbyists. It has already set the political fur flying, and St. Louis Public Radio's political reporter Joe Manis joins us now to talk about the story, the fallout, and the potential fallout. Joe, it's gotten busy for you all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, as if it wasn't busy enough with the Kenning's X-Race and Ferguson and other stuff.
All the stuff that's going on. Can you give me just a quick overview of what the Times has reported and where we are with that?
Okay. Now, to be fair to Koster, Koster is denying a lot of the stuff that's in the New York Times story. The New York Times did a broad look at a number of attorney generals around the country. And the whole theme of the story was that many of them are listening and too much to corporations and lobbyists, that they're easily influenced by corporations and lobbyists, and that they often drop investigations and so forth, and that a lot of this is tied to their political campaigns, and that many of the lobbyists or the corporations are also donors to their campaigns. Well, Koster ended up being Exhibit A, and they focused particularly on two aspects of their allegations. One, they point to him dropping his office's investigation into an energy drink, whether or not the producer was involved in fraudulent advertising practices. And then they also look at various interactions that he's had with lobbyists and corporate officials involving Pfizer and AT&T, and pointing to a case where the state ended up agreeing to a smaller settlement with Pfizer, and he ended up in Chicago speaking at a conference that Pfizer was hosting. And his speech actually was on how corporations and public officials can work better together.
And he received sizable campaign contributions from these companies as well.
Correct, correct. Mm-hmm. And their executives. And also from the lobbyists. And it also focused on a couple lobbying firms and pointed out his ties. Now, to be fair, he isn't the only attorney general who was highlighted in this series. And I'm not excusing anything he's done, but some of his activities are stuff that we're seeing increasingly in Missouri on all levels. I mean, you know, so far they have not accused him of doing anything illegal. And that's important.
That's a key point.
That's a key point. But what it does do is it puts a big chink in his political armor, in that Koster has often been seen as the predominant candidate for governor in 2016 in either party. He's a former Republican. He turned Democrat in 2007. He has raised by far more money than any of the other candidates or potential candidates for governor in 2016. So far, there are no Democratic rivals. He looks like he has a clear shot. I'll explain there could be a little bump there. But there's also several Republicans who are either announced, as in Catherine Hanaway, who also has been under the gun over some of her own campaign donations. And then you've got State Auditor Tom Schweik, who's going to be handily reelected next Tuesday because he doesn't have a Democratic challenger. And in fact, Koster was often seen as the behind-the-scenes reason that there isn't a Democratic challenger for State Auditor, because Koster is a major force within the state Democratic Party. So you've got all this picture of him being a major force within the state Democratic Party. You've got the Republicans who are pushing rumors that U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill may try to challenge him for governor, because she always did want to be governor and did run for governor and lost back in 2004. So you've got this scenario of rumors and what's true, what's not true, and this is all besetting him when he wants to be looked at as the inevitable.
And there's going to be an investigation, most likely, of this from within the legislature, is there not?
Okay, here's where it gets murky. You had House Speaker Tim Jones put out a statement yesterday blasting Koster. Now, Jones is planning on running for a statewide office in 2016, and Attorney General is one of the positions he's looking at, saying that he may put together some sort of commission. But unless there's some sort of special session or something, the legislature is not going to be in session until January. And when that happens, Jones will not be there. he is out of office, and there's already been unofficially a new speaker elected, John Deal. John Deal, who's a Republican from St. Louis County, Deal has said nothing. So while Jones is putting out stuff saying that he may have the legislature look at this, it's unclear if he's really going to follow through with it.
But clearly it's not over and done with. Koster can deny it, or the attorney general can deny it. But this is pretty heavy-duty stuff. It's not going to go away.
Well, in the short term, no. I think what people will be watching for is to see if there's another shoe that drops. I've talked to several political analysts about this who have said, well, okay, as I said, he's not accused of doing anything illegal. He's just accused of doing stuff that is somewhat sleazy, okay? Yeah. But he's not the only public official in Jefferson City who's run into that.
Or anywhere else, we might add.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to emphasize that. Yeah. It's just that it's not something you want to be in the middle of. But the issue is, okay, does a federal investigation ensue? If there is, then that's a whole different ballgame. But if there isn't, and maybe nothing else comes out, and this is 2 years out, there are some analysts who say that, well, in the short term, it looks bad. But in the long term, assuming he can still raise money and there's no other shoes dropping, that this will settle down. Again, in part because all of his potential rivals or announced rivals have their own controversies regarding large campaign donations and allegations of ties to this or that. So he's not alone out there. I mean, he's not. Even Governor Nixon, when he was running for re-election in 2012, was hammered over some of the huge donations that he was getting at the same time that he has long supported restoring the state's campaign donation limits. And Nixon had said, well, I've got to play by the rules that there is, and I'm facing a millionaire. He was running against a millionaire at the time.
But Attorney General Koster has got a little bit of a background, too, with some deals that have been criticized.
Correct. I mean, going back to 2011, there was an ethics complaint that was looking at whether or not some of the things he was doing in the office were okay, but it was dismissed. Now, one of the things that I've written about on our site is pointing out that at least in the early stages, this has some unsettling similarities to what happened to Attorney General Bill Webster in 1991, where he was considered the heir apparent to be governor in 92. In fact, I did a story at that time, very early, saying, you know, looked like it was all over except the balloons. And Bill Webster was similar to Koster. He was young, intelligent, smart. Came across well, had lots of campaign cash, had the connections. Bill Webster's dad was the most powerful man in the state Senate. But once this investigation started coming out, there was allegations about whether or not he was giving preferential treatment on attorney general contracts. This has to do with the second injury fund, and I'll try not to get too
complicated. Yeah, don't go down too deeply into the woods here.
But the point is that he was accused of steering contracts to donors or giving more attractive contracts to donors. And the federal investigation is sued. He ended up going to prison, but not over that. I mean, what he ended up going to prison for was he admitted that he had basically used the copier machine in the AG's office for political reasons, and some staff had been improperly used for political stuff. It was penny ante compared to what he was actually accused of, but he was never charged or went to jail or went to court on any of that.
And Missouri has a fairly rich history for public officials who have gone bad. If you want to think of Bob Griffin, former House Speaker, Richard Rabbit, former House Speaker, all of them did time for wrongdoing.
Yes, but in that case, they were accused of doing illegal stuff, and they're actually what's proof of that.
Sure.
So far, the New York Times story, while it doesn't look good, it's not claiming that he did anything illegal. And I said he put out a very detailed statement denying it and pointing out that, let's say, the case of Pfizer, for example, that there's been a number of settlements or lawsuits that his office has been engaged in against Pfizer, just using that as an example. But the point being that I think he's trying to get on top of it, but he's not like coming out and talking to cameras or to us or anybody about it.
at this point, I guess what you're saying is it's damaging, but maybe not necessarily that damaging to his political future.
Yeah, I mean, what it does is it creates a lot of talk within the chattering class, which is us and the political people in Jefferson City. The speculation in the Republican camps is going wild. Now, you got to understand, many of the major Republicans are still irked with him over switching parties.
Sure.
7 years ago. But this going wild because they're convinced that Claire McCaskill is going to run for governor against him. Now, she had told me several weeks ago on the record that she is not. But who knows? She might change her mind. She just gave another big check to the state Democratic Party. She and Koster, frankly, are the major players right now running the state party. They put in most of the money. They've been overseeing like the appointment of a new chairman a year ago. And the two of them, though, often work together. Because they're both, while they both are originally from, I mean, she's from central Missouri and he's from St. Louis, actually, originally, but most of their political careers were spent in Kansas City area, and they know each other quite well.
And I would think that Catherine Hanaway on the Republican side, former U.S. attorney here in St. Louis, would be licking her chops to get into this.
Oh, yes. And she put out a statement just ripping him over it. Yeah. But again, you know, Hanaway is running into the similar problem because there's still a lot of controversy over the $750,000 check she took a few weeks ago from Rex Ziegfeld.
Money in politics.
Yeah.
And it's really something.
Well, Missouri does not have campaign donation limits, has not had it since 2008. And ironically, when Missouri put campaign donation limits in place, they actually went into effect in 1995. It was in part because of what happened with Webster. Yeah. And it's rather ironic that then they were taken off in 2008 by the General Assembly and then Governor Matt Blunt. And since then, there have been a number of controversies over big donations. But there has been no talk, except outside of the governor, of trying to put the campaign donation limits back on. And Koster has made it clear that that's not one of his priorities.
Sure. Only 45 seconds left. I'll change course here for a moment. Do you expect any surprises on Tuesday?
There's always surprises on Election Day. I think the county executive's race is going to be tighter than some may say. And again, a lot of it's going to depend on turnout. And regardless of what people, which side they're on, they should go out and vote.
They absolutely should do that. And by the way, we've been telling our audience on this program all week long that we had hoped to have Ann Wagner on the program today. We have contacted her and attempted to schedule her, but that has not happened for various reasons. Basically, she couldn't find the time to put it into schedule. So she has not been on. We're sorry about that, but the other candidates have been, so there. Joe Manis, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be hearing a lot from you between now and after Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk with Ira Glass about his work as host of This American Life and his appearances at Edison Theater this weekend. He'll also take a look at a production of a Tennessee Williams play at the newly renovated Bouquet Club and three projects next month by UMSL's Women in the Arts Initiative. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with presidential inaugural poet and author Richard Blanco and about an effort to appoint a poet laureate in the city of St. Louis. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Erica Smith, Aaron Dorr, Emma Brown, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. And today we say goodbye to our intern, Emma Brown, and thank her for her fine contributions to our efforts here. We wish her well as she begins a new full-time position next week. Good luck to Emma Brown. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.